Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
Thank you, everyone. This is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. And I want to thank you all for listening in. Hope we don't have any background noise here. I want to thank also BBS Radio for producing my show, and of course all you listeners and future and past listeners. First, in recent tragedies and recent things that happened, both in Bulgaria and now in Colorado, and it seems like it goes on different areas or on our planet. First, my thoughts and prayers go out to the families and friends of these precious souls that were deeply affected in the recent tragedy in the bombing in Bulgaria, and today, or last night's shooting in Colorado, and of course the extreme violence that's been happening in Syria, but in all areas, in our nation, in the U.S. and United States, in the world, because in reality it's all our world, and every place. My thoughts go out to all those who are affected, but more also to those souls that have been subjected to these grave tragedies. My thoughts and prayers. In these times, we often look into them at the peril of them. But in these times and certain events that are deemed tragedy, they do indeed give us the opportunity to come together as we truly are. In essence, the tragedy gives us the opportunity for us humans to become unified. It is indeed an opportunity in a positive sense. I hope you don't mind the background. I just got to turn on the air. It's getting really hot over here now. All of a sudden. But it does, like I said, gives us opportunity in these situations. And in fact, it's in the essence of the tragedy. Unfortunately, it does give us opportunity for us humans to realize the very truth. That is, indeed, we are simply so connected and that we are one. And the realization of this, in fact, is the harmony of the result. So again, my thoughts and prayers to all those who are both affected from the recent tragedies yesterday night in Colorado, as well as what transpired in Bulgaria, and of course what's been going on in Syria. Now, I have a couple announcements to make. For my next show on the 27th, a week from today, I will be basically being the vessel. Basically dispatch what I see and hear, what I'm told, and visually see, actually, visions, whatever happens and hear, I would just, of course, just lay it on as I always try to do. And that will be next week. So for those who want to know what's down the line. So that's basically a very channel type of show. So when I get very broad, it is what it is, but if you've heard my recent shows in the same kind of light, people got rather surprised, some of them. In fact, all things encountered, those things have transpired. But again, that's not me. I'm just, like I said, I'm just being the vessel of the universe here. And I'm not the only one who has this, and I just feel like honored just to be that, and just to be the crowd and do it. Everybody has the ability. Now, on August 3rd, I have scheduled, and you definitely got to circle this on your calendar. I have an amazing guest. Her name is Lisa Barretta. She is author of an amazing book called The Book of Transformation, which is quite relevant in these times of how to adapt to our increasing energy within Earth, which is becoming more positive as opposed to negative. In this interview, you do, like I said, will not want to miss it. So keep it, I'll keep you posted and reaffirmed, but definitely mark your calendar August 3rd. Now, I also, and I'll give you an update on it, I will have two major events coming, of course, and I'll give you detailed information down the line of it, but those who will be in the Ventura area or L.A. area or L.A. County area or even Santa Barbara area, I plan on having a special class where I'll be teaching Soul Center for Kabbalah on August 18th, and I'll give you specific things on my next show, but I will have it posted in next week on this website, BBS Radio. And then on the following weekend, on the 25th, I've been invited to be at the Psychic Fair to do a special session of readings. So I'll be one of the guests doing that. I feel honored to doing that as well at the same place in Ohio. And I will give you an updated information as specifics of time once we've gotten the time. So that's what I'm waiting for until we get confirmation exactly. But we basically we got it down. But I usually like to wait until it's, you know, the ink is dry, the pencil is. It won't be erased, but I'll give you more of an update. But that's tentatively, we've actually circled it as August 18th, Kabbalah class. That's going to be at a place called Soul Center. You can look that up on the internet, soulcenter.com. And also, the following week on the 25th, I will be doing a special engagement doing a psychic reading. So, anyway, now, today is one of my... Everybody asks me this because I guess it's from my background. Astral projection, out of body, dream, channeling. What is it? Really? I know many have possibly heard of Merkaba or astral projection or out of body experiences or whatever. Well, if you haven't, that's still okay. You have had been have dreams, right? And dreaming is actually going out of body. So those who are dreaming say, hey, I haven't been out of body. Yes, you have. Everybody goes out of body when you dream. So there you go. You just didn't do it consciously. Dreaming in reality is just the state of unconsciously going out of body or astral projection. Most people will, though, refer to astral projection in the conscious form, meaning you actually consciously leave, but it's still, fundamentally, it's the same thing. Yes, I've had dreams, you've had dreams, I've been also, though, going out of body, and I'm talking about in the conscious form since 1992. So, consistently, since then. So that's about 20 years, right? Now, most or many get caught up in this nostalgia of it, and many even will become project a fear of it, or their own personifications, or projections, or perceptions of it, blah, blah, blah. And most of it is pure bullshit. Actually, the fear-based is total bullshit. I mean, I've even heard from people, even straight to me, and I have to, like, hold my breath, and he's, oh no, you shouldn't, something's going to happen to you, blah, 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 you know. Anyway, whatever. It's fear-based. There is a side that about that, which I'll get into later, that if you're aware of it, it is what it is. But I don't like projecting fear because that just makes somebody curl up. It's like, oh, don't go in the swimming pool because it's deep. But you can still go in the shallow end. You still go swimming if you know how to swim, right? Does that mean you don't go in the water? Don't you go in the ocean, even though you've heard of maybe there's all kinds of sharks and stuff, but how many thousand go in there? go in the woods and there's all kinds of animals, right? You get in your car and you go driving, but somebody can go and smack you and kill you on the highway. So you see, it's sort of the same thing. So anybody who projects fear is actually doing a disservice and actually projecting out of their mouth some very, unfortunately, non-truths. It's out of their own lack of either ignorance or the lack of understanding or their own ignorance. Now, anyone who would say, like, again, astral projection is, you know, you shouldn't go astral projection because a plain simple is full of crap. They don't know what they're talking about. I mean, like I said, I've met many who project this negativity, but it's nonsense. Now, there is things of somebody of positive and negative and issues, yes and no. Like in a lot of things in certain situations, and I'll explain. But just absolutely tell somebody, you know, sort of not to do blah blah blah. I mean, you do need to learn to crawl before you walk. You need to learn to walk before you can run. Well, it's the same thing in astral projection or consciously astral projecting. So, and yeah, for now on, I'm going to refer to astral projection throughout. When I mention it, I'm going to talk it throughout as, even though it's unconsciously dreams, it's also astral projection. I'm going to be referring it in a conscious way, and I'll also be referring it to the Kabbalistical way, which is called Merkabah. So more of a correct essence of understanding of astral projection, or the Merkabah, I will explain it. And I will use the word Merkabah in its full explanation for various reasons, and you'll see, you'll understand why. But before I do, I need to explain in the four worlds of understanding within the Kabbalah, of the worlds, and there's like basically four worlds. But before I get to that, you're gonna, oh, okay, before you get to that, but but first, before I explain the four worlds, I think it's imperative to understand in Kabbalism, and this is actually the reality. There's like they talk of the three, and I'll tell you the reason why this is really important. There's the called the three pillars of Kabbalah, and it, you can find it when it's written literally inside Sefer Razael. The three pillars of Kabbalah are unconditional love, manifestation, which is creating, and Merkabah. The reason why those are three pillars is because, of course, unconditional love is unity. All of us are reality of how we're all one, basically how the universe is just one, everything's connected. The other aspect is manifestation or creating, that we are, so we still are individually where we can project and create manifestations. We're constantly creating with our minds. We're constantly creators. And then the issue of Merkabah, where our, though we are in this physical body, which is a limited portion, we can see the things in reality of the unlimited, which is the reality. And we can connect both in this worlds and different worlds, and that's really the Merkabah. Merkabah is actually, you're moving the vehicle in different worlds or different spheres. And I, when I say worlds, I'm doing it in a metaphorical way, and this is how it's explained in Kabbalah, but it's still metaphorically. Now, to understand the four worlds, first you have to understand the lowest world is Asiya, which is the 5D world, which you see. We see with our eyes and smell and blah, blah, blah. The next world above that is called Yetzirah. And Yetzirah is the area where you start, when you go in the dream world, let's say you're dreaming, you actually see visual, lucid-like dreams. You see the dreams, you know. In these two worlds, there is light and dark, yin and yang, i.e. qing. That's in these two areas only. And this is the area where only archangels can reside. As you go into the area of what you call Bira, Bira is almost like a shooting stars, like energy flying. Just imagine that's sort of what it's like. And I'm telling you what it's within Asha, when you Asha project. And so in that area, there is no thing light and dark. It just is, which is basically it, right? there's no positive and negative. It is what it is. As you get further, and that's above Bira, you're going to Atzilu. And that essentially is heading toward the area of what they call as nothingness. It's just like pure space, nothingness. So those are basically a metaphorical understanding of the worlds. And by the way, those top two archangels aren't there. There are bridges between, they say, like between going into the Atzilu, which is where the cherubim or cherubs, little baby angels, they say. That's why they say be it in the heavens before the cherubim. That's what this refers to. It's a direction, by the way. The same thing between leaving the Yetzirah to Bira, you have a thing called Sephirim, and sometimes even referred to, and below that is Chayot, but that's down below. But Sephirim, or like some people describe them as the sixth angel, winged angels, they're sort of like fiery and all that. So those are basically levels, and you really do see elements of that. And you, everybody, when you do go out of body, you do bring your own projected things that you see. So that's just a reminder. When you go out of body, you tend to bring in your belief systems. Now, there is reality of things. And the reality or truth of things is absolute nothingness. And that's what you see when you head toward Atzilut. And when you're heading to Bira, that's where, as you're heading toward those directions, then you're heading to absolute truth. Okay? Atzilut is nothingness. Bira is something from nothing. Yetzirah is making from something. And Asiya is forming from something to make it to completion. So why I mention this is because it reflects to how people create things, manifestations. And you're probably wondering, why are you talking about this in Merkaba? Because they're interrelated. And you'll understand as I get into that. So, now you know I give you brief explanations of Kabbalism there. But in Merkaba, you'll notice, you'll see a symbol often in times. You'll see a symbol, it looks like it's a Jewish star or Star of David, but then it has a point pointed one way and a point going the other way, so there's like 8 points. And there is a reason for these 8 points, meaning it's going all directions, right? But it's 8 points, and 8 is a really interesting number because it has reference to God's name, and it's also part of what they call the Yesod. And if you look up in Hebrew, what Yesod is, if you take in Hebrew and add all those letters, it ends up adding up to, ends up adding up to 80, which is 8. Hello, 8 again. God's name, 8. They all add up to 8, and that's very significant. It tells you the divine connection, and Merkaba, by the way, is literally the soul of man. It's a spirit. So it's your spirit that's connecting in all aspects, both in all areas. So it is literally like the vehicle. That's why it's made into a diagram of like a vessel. Because it's a vessel that moves around, if you want to say. And it's, you can literally be one place to another place at the same time. Now, channeling, dreaming, spiritual connecting, in a conscious or unconscious manner is Merkaba as well. Merkaba is literally the bridging of worlds between each other. Merkaba. The Merkaba provides the vehicle of the blurring of worlds or the and a reality of what our world and our universe and ourselves really are. So when people tell you, oh, you shouldn't be going out of body, blah, blah, they're really telling you, you should know what the universe really is or what you really are. They want to distract you from gaining the true understanding of things. They're projecting a wall of limitation when they tell you that. That is actually not reality. It's going the wrong direction.
as I say in Tao, there's two ways. Increase your frequencies by creating your greater understanding of what's really real. Or going the other way. Now, all about our souls and the infinite, it is heading, is the realization, is the connection, is realized in the Merkaba. When you look all about what we are, what our souls are, what the universe is, you realize the infinite connection, what in reality, what the truth, and you realize us within the Merkaba. You will know that when going out of body in a conscious state is also giving you an opportunity. So when we go out of body consciously, we often must do a thing. Since we must always give grace to the experience. First, we should give grace and being thankful and reverence to everything we do. But we also have the grace for giving us opportunity for greater understanding. So as always, we will always be thankful for the experience. And I always reiterate. It also, when people go out of body and develop this, this is not to say you're in a psychic race. Who's better? Who's not more evolved? This has nothing to do with it. Everybody who goes out of the body in a different system, at a different circumstance, is unique for the person. That is what is beautiful about it. Everybody has their own unique experiences when they go out of body. Since we have our uniqueness of perspectives, that's what makes us so special. Some people disavow perspective, but it is true that the soul or spirit is absolutely important. But as the perspective, though it may create limitations, provides that unique experience, reflection. It makes us slightly different in view. It makes us makes life a little bit special, because otherwise it would be sort of boring now, wouldn't it? Gives us a chance to learn, which is part of going into some limited form. Gives us opportunity to go back and just rediscover ourselves. Probably the best way to look at it. We rediscover the universe. Anyway, so that is basically it. So it's not a race. If you haven't or couldn't or unable at this time to go, that's fine. Everybody is their own things. And sometimes it's meant to protect you at this time not to, so you don't get disillusioned if you try to go out of body and you can. Everything has its proper timing. Now, it is very nostalgic, so I realize that. So it is what it is. Now, one movie I highly suggest, and it was told to me to watch this when I start going out of body. My throat's starting to tickle here. One thing I find that's was very helpful is if you ever watch the movie Dreamscape, and how, I guess if you watch it shows the projection of fear within when someone goes out of body, and it's because he goes through dreams, and the person uses dreams, the fear element of dreams within them against another person. And it was really important to watch that because, like I said, when you go out of body, you bring your own perceptions. This is why when people go out, and if they want to see, they believe the whoever it is, their reflection on some guide, angel, is Jesus, they'll see Jesus, or they'll see Buddha, or they'll see Muhammad, or, you know, whoever, Mary. You know, in reality, those are reflections of what you really want to see. Okay, so you're sort of taking that with you, what you see. Because when you go beyond that, you won't, if you go beyond to the reality of things, actually, that's when you don't see anything. That's when you see light. See, it's the lower worlds are more where your perspectives are. When you go beyond that, when you head toward nothing, it's first to Bira, which is this light shooting around, and then you're just like energy. There's no real perspective of things, just there. And then you're going to nothingness. There is none, right? Get it? You're not going to see a face of Jesus or Muhammad or Buddha or people talking to you or some masters of Buddha or Tao or some spiritual king sitting in nothingness. You won't see their faces, I'm sorry to tell you, because that's nothingness. How can you see nothingness? When the minute you think you see something, then that's when you're still in Yetzirah. When you feel the energy that's shooting around you, sort of like, that's Bira, and that's where there is no light and dark. And when you're in absolute nothingness, Atzilut. Get it? So therefore, when you're in nothingness, it's nothing. So, when you go out of body, it also, you see what the soul matrix is. As you go out, you'll feel how your essence, how there's an oversoul. Because when you start shooting out, you're like almost like, when you go out, there's sort of like a, like shooting elements of energy that you can branch into, but you see how we're all connected when you're out of body. Especially when you're going to Bira, which is the higher you're looking down, you can feel the energy higher. It's like a matrix of energy flying around. All you see is like almost like being in a being an electron and an atom. You see the branches of the tree of life, and this is in the finite manner. I'm talking about like leaves, raw like leaves, like I've often said. And that's pretty much how, like I said, and I don't want to go off tangent, but it is often, and this is pretty much true, when you are looking in any physics point of view of, let's say, the dimensions, aspects, you know, time and space are pretty much synonymous together. They're pretty much, as we say, time and space are one and the same, right? But we often look in our way of visually seeing space in this 5D dimension, so to speak. And that time is one dimensional, right? And this is, of course, perceived. And this is the matter side. When you go on that antimatter side, which I'm utilizing these words, when you go out of body, and that's the antimatter, time becomes a multi-dimensional aspect, while space is simply one dimension, if you want to call it that. This is the where this end, the antimatter, is where you sense your out-of-body sense, because there's no limits. There are absolutely no limits when you're out-of-body. Get it? No limits. No limitation. You get, that's the reality. That's why Merkava is so important. Now, when you unconsciously go out, which is the dreamscape, when you're dreaming, you're always out of, you may have even dark dreams, is what something people refer them. The soul leaves, but it's still always attached to your physical, and Kabbalah they call it the nefesh. And there's a connection which is called the malchut, which is this physical connection from the keter, the crown where one leaves. One always pulls out from the top of their physical body, which is the keter, some people with the crown, the chakra on top of your head. And you do this in dreamscape as well. Now, dark dreams, I just mentioned, it's not like dark, scary dreams. I was referring to when people go have a dream, they don't remember that they had a dream. So that's what I meant, the dark dream. And that happens because the soul is always outside doing things, especially your higher self. As you're going out, you're manifesting or trying to fix your present world or whatever. And you don't recall it because it's overworking sometimes. Sometimes you'll sleep and then you go, God, I didn't feel like I slept. And that's why. And the essence is when you are out, your consciousness, your mind, you'll have like a mind shift crossing from both sides. Almost from being in your physical as well as outside. You'll have, because even though, and that's a good thing, when you're out of body, you'll feel like almost a duality in a way. It's because in your that's the connection to your physical presence. If you didn't have that, you wouldn't be in, you'd be dead. I hate to tell you. You'll feel yourself in the physical body, and then outside another essence. So you'll have like almost a duacid, but it's like taking a mercury ball and you shake it one side, and now you're over here, and then you really quickly feel, oh, I'm still in my body over here. So you have like dual sort of consciousness in a way. But when you're out of body, you can really just, you know that's there as you're out, and then that's sort of like your anchor. So you're out of your body, and that's sort of the practical science of it. Now, there's practical methods, by the way, utilizing chakras or vortex points from a Kabbalistical perspective and actually all perspectives. And sometimes they're referred within the Sefirot as actually, in his example, because I remember the Ari calls it the flame of soul. And that's really utilizing what those are. And in reality, it's a methodology that everybody uses now. What I'm getting to is there's methodologies for people to produce a sense or whatever to go out of body or go into a conscious state of Merkaba. Native Americans utilize, for example, a physical method like a sweat lodge or the wheel where they hook the bone tips or hooks or places to create enduring pain. You know, what they call dream path. And of course, this is using your lower chakra, your mahut, the lowest chakra. You'll hear people using fasting methods and religions. That's actually probably the lowest form to get you to go into a form. It's creating that energy so you can pull out. Okay? And mind you, when you use those methods, because the level of energy from lower to upper does translate in with a kind of where you can really go out of body, actually. It does reflect that. So if you're fasting and doing that, it's all cool, but it's at that level. So you just have to be aware of it. That's the level of this. So you're fasting, and you're going to do all these things, it comes with physical consequences, right? Now, apologize that you're hearing a saw in the background. Unreal. This is what you call live entertainment, right? The next one is what we call the second chakra, and is at the base, what they call the foundation or the yasodu, because it's manifestation. Everything comes out of manifestation. And that's actually through the orgasm, through sex. It's also utilized when you have that exhaustion. People have utilized sexuality in order to do that. The teferet, which is in third chakra, some call this the abundance or vortex of area, or in Kabbalism, like I said, an area of compassion or balancing compassion. Often when one eats certain things, such as heavy foods, you know, they'll make you very happy. You'll read about, like in the Bible, they eat lamb or certain turkey and things like that, make you feel really sleepy. Or people take hallucinogenics, you know, like peyote and whatever. That is that third chakra utilizing so you can sort of go through sort of a Merkava-like state, leaving one's body in some sort of semi-way. Okay? And like I said, when you're leaving, even those states, they may not go to nothingness and to Atzilut. They may still be in the area of Yetzirah, so they visually see things. They will have hallucinations or things. But they may be seeing worlds, but they're seeing of lower worlds, okay? Because they're seeing things. Ken, as I pre-explained, again, these are lower forms of utilizing methods to in order to go out of body. And of course, as you go further higher is through the heart, you know, prayer and through love. It's through through love, it changes. So in the higher realms, prayer, speech, sound, music, love, understanding, wisdom, meditation, individually selecting was another way of repeating certain things over and over again, send you in a state of consciousness of out of body. So, for example, in the heart, you know, which is in the dots of knowingness, there's an area of convergence. You also know the givara, which is in the throat, determination, chakra. Utilizing also your throat utterances, which is the chesed, the divine love. So these are all connected because when you're doing, you're coming from your heart. So from your heart through your throat, that's why through chanting, all that stuff is really important. And of course, the higher areas is if you were coming out through your, just working on just the mechanics of just leaving out of your cat, your ketra, or your crown, that's the highest state of doing it. And I have done all states, by the way, and I know how to mechanically out. I've been doing mechanically for over 20 years with knowing how to just pull out. It's like when you do it so much, it's like riding a bike after a while. So anyway, and sometimes, and for me, it's just maybe it's just easier for me. And it, more or less, another thing I forgot to mention, that as you go out of body more and more, you need to keep yourself grounded, so to speak. Because if you're out of your body, obviously you're out of equilibrium in this physical world. So when you go out, that's why it's often said when people do these kind of things, they need to do something physical. Like yoga is really a good thing for like women if they're out, or running or exercise, or even sex, because sex brings you down to a grounding state, the physicality of it. Or working out, or the gym, playing sports, or chopping some wood, or whatever. Something physical. Running. Those things keep you grounded, okay? So that's highly imperative, by the way, if you do start going out of body a lot, or if you have been. So anyway, so now you can imagine what you're, in a sense, what we are is we're like an upside down light bulb. Imagine the light goes through your head, you're pulling out, get it? As you go in and out. That's actually where the vehicle of energy comes through you, through the kundalini, through your crown. Everything comes from your crown and up. That's how it works. Just the mechanics. Just telling how it is. And it's energy, so it's like into your body. That's how it lights up your body. When you die, that little thing pulls out. You still have part of you in you. Which essentially, there's always a part of you connected on this plane. Anyway. Now, like I said, there's levels and states. Simply, you can see the physical realm on this plane when you go out in this area. And then time and space is what it is. But in reality, when the truth is, and when I use reality, it can be the reality of what your perceived things are. And then there's the truth, which is the infinite or beyond the infinite, which is heading toward nothingness. And when you're out of body, things become more apparent. One aspect becomes exceptionally apparent is the plethora of information. When you out of body utilize and you're in the Merkava, it is so obvious. So when what one learns from anything of the Kabbalah in reality, you are actually preparing yourself for Merkava. Everything is about preparing yourself to the Merkava. All these things, chanting, bowing down, all this stuff in reality is a mechanical way of preparing you to develop yourself to go Merkava. Instead of like, in essence, doing the prayers, doing the chanting, doing the meditations, all that spiritual stuff that you hear about is literally the mechanical way, or even dancing in some scenarios, or drums, and beating, and powwow, all this stuff is the mechanical way of preparing your body. When you're doing healings and all this stuff you're doing, you're allowing your body to be so healed that you can easily become the Merkava. You can go out of your body and in your body. It's allowing it. And of course, what is the domain of leaving and astral projecting? You're actually entering the domain of Raziel. That's why the book of Sefer Raziel, the book of Raziel, is so, when people try to read it, they're like, whoa, what the hell does it say? But if you go out of body a lot, and you'll sort of like understand, you'll get a hint of what the explanation is. Raziel is, of course, the only archangel, Raziel, not even metronome, not any of them, is the only one that transponds between Atzilut, which is nothingness, and this world. It takes you from one world to another. Why? Because Azil allowed, his job is for wisdom, okay? To connect you to understanding, to get to, he's like the vehicle to university, to your PhD, to your master's, and can even skip worlds. Get it? So, it is like what I said, it is this domain, when you go out of body, is in reality coming to the realization of understanding, which is then realized. And the infinite is the connection of all. Are you universal consciousness becomes more of a general understanding, you have that wisdom of nothingness that transponds to this understanding. We are really essentially all one when you're out of body. You see that, you feel it, you understand it. You understand the essence of how most things, how people perceive things and their perceptions. And I hate to say, you even see the realities of when people see suffering in a suffering as a perspective. You see things how the reality, the truth of things. You get to a better understanding even what compassion is. It's a vehicle to know that we're connected. It's not to become a vegetarian. It's not to become, oh, this animal or that animal, oh my God. It's so that you realize that we're all connected. Do you realize, not to do go transpose, but do you not think that a tiger that is now latched on its teeth on an animal that's now, in its perspective, suffering, its perspective suffering, in reality, the tigers, they're both in union. Is it not the I Ching? People say, oh, they're separate, this is the logical. No. It is to validate this type of world we are in. Not to say that does not exist. Not saying it's an, saying it is an illusion is an illusion. It is a reality of having this perceived limitations. But then that's like looking in a box in the middle of a space. In reality, space is the reality, and all you're focusing is on space. And this is what people do. This is what the problem is. If I drew a square on a chalkboard or a board or whatever, people often look at the square and go, look at the square. They don't see the space. And that's the point. You need to look the other way around. Look at space. And then if that happens to have the square. It's like the old, I think the, somebody was telling me, a Chinese coin or whatever comes from Taoism with the I Ching. They have a, it's round out on the, it's round, the world is round because the universe is, the reality is round, everything's round, right? Space is round, everything's sort of round. And then square creates a dimension. So it's symbolic. The square represents perception or personality. And the soul or the spirit is the circle. So it's like the spirit that happens to have a personality. It's not the spirit that happens to have a, it's not the personality that happens to have a spirit. It's the other way around. But it does, you have to, it does have a perspective and a personality. That's what gives it uniqueness. If we are simply spirit, if we were just looking at ourselves spirit only, we would just be a blah. We wouldn't have free will. That is what the difference is. Because we have that little square that allows us that slight thing called free will to make a choice. We wouldn't be a blob. Anyway, our universal consciousness in the reality, we're all one. And it brings us the essence of, like I said, the most important thing, which is the embodiment of love. Unconditional love, which is what I have always said. Unconditional love is experiencing the very reality of our connection between all souls. Which leads us to what? We gain wisdom, the Chokhmah. Chokhmah is the wisdom, the understanding is Bina, to understand. That in reality, all is Ein Sof with no end, which is beyond the infinite, or infinite or beyond the infinite. This, thus, is the infinite or beyond the infinite of what is God or the Tao. Or Allah. It's the universe. The Merkava is the direction through the mechanical means to get ourselves to the reality connecting to our spiritual truth. With it, both our realities, which are our perspectives, and the truth, which is the truth, which is truth. Without our projected perspectives, come in full face. So what I'm saying is, when you go out of body, when you're going through Merkava, through the mechanical means, you're coming into, heading toward truth. When you're in Merkava, out of body, you are heading toward truth. fair and simple. You're seeing, you're feeling, you're experiencing what the universe in reality really is, in all its measures, in a very broad stroke. You are connecting. Now, it brings in full face what you are and what the universe is. It is like literally being thrown in your face. This is why Merkava is so important. It is you, the very essence, and yet it is also the vehicle to the understanding. It is the vehicle to connection. Even if the brief, even space you think is minuscule, it brings you toward wisdom. And thus, out of the wisdom, an expression becomes understanding. You are the Merkava, a spirit. You are able to do this. Now, there are some all kinds of examples. I give you the ones that just absolutely leave your body. And of course, there's channeling. You'll hear people channeling, connecting. In a sense, you'll hear like Bashar. He's actually in a Merkava state because he pulls himself out in the universe and he brings in, but he's still connecting his physical body and he allows. And by the way, this is sort of, when people do this, it's very precarious, so don't try it on your own. It's very, very unique because he's bringing another entity to speak through him. You've seen that's called channeling, a true channeler. Sometimes you'll see their bodies twitch and do all kinds of things. That's, you'll see little physical things that actually are for real, that are not natural, like a twitch that can't be, you can't just create a twitch or a certain affliction. And they're all unique. Some people connect and they're all different. Some people channel and are still in their, when I say channel, can be very broad too. Some people I know who are channelers channel and bring in information. When you're connecting with your guide, you're actually channeling too. So it is a way of Merkava. You're going out and you're hearing, you're like pulling out. So your souls and how you're connecting is not through, you'll hear through your heart, but you're really connecting out from your crown. Where do ideas come from? Where and how? An artist, when he comes up or she comes up with this great, profound thing, what they do, they're actually going out of body in a quick state. They head really quickly into a place of nothingness, and then they come down. So out of nothingness creates things. If you heard what I said earlier, out of nothingness becomes something. Because all creation comes from originally from nothing. That's why when I mentioned the three pillars, Merkava, creation, unconditional, they all intersect together. In fact, they all three have God's names within them. And there's a reason because of it. And they all add up to eight. And the Yesod is eight. And then if you look on, everything's created of eight, but then there's called the bridge of five, which is a hand, I'm going to numbers. Yod, if you spell it in Hebrew, is 14, which is 1 and 4 is 5. But it represents a hand. Why it's always used is God's name, the first letter, Yod, which is direction for nothingness or God. And then 4 being in Hebrew, like, Dalet, which is Dalet, but like door, and it happens by itself as a four, which is what? Four opens up four worlds, the four worlds. Get it? See, now you're getting it. Anyway. And all these things are giving us greater hints of understanding of the universes, all the numbers and all these things. People try to smooth them up and make them more complicated than they are all the time. I sit in classes and they sit there and they go over and over the same stuff and they'll say same thing 4, 5, 6, 7 net ways, and actually to the point they're making it more complicated, and people are so focused on the stuff that person's saying of this quote as opposed to just experience the damn thing, man. They're making you're rare just to experience it, and then we already know it, you experience it. Anyway. And then you wake up, oh, I know that. Okay, well, why are you telling me again? A different way. It's just... Anyway. Self-masturbatory, I call it. Anyway. So now you understand why this is so important. Why Asher Project Merkava, what it is. It is the truth. It's the way. It's the universe's way of saying, hello, hello. Yeah, we're here. We're the universe. Merkava, out of body. The universe, yep, we're infinite. We're beyond infect. Yep, here we are. Oh, yeah, you know, that place where of, yeah, nothingness, wisdom. Yep, that's where it all starts. Yes, when one astral breaks in the beginning, like I said, in the lower worlds is Asya Yetzirah, where there is light and dark. And yes, people have to consider those things when they're in those lower worlds. So I don't project fear, but I do say, hey, you do need to take care of things. Don't be a Bambi in the woods if you're consciously going out. So the most important thing in Metaphysics 101 is the reason why most enlightened or people who are in the light or working out light always tell you to bubble up yourself up. Put a golden light around you. That's the reason. Not just for this physical body. So when you, it's like I said, it's preparing you. Now, I know I went through a lot of this, and do feel free to, like I said, this is going to probably be archived soon, so you can always re-listen to it. But I did write in my most recent book, it's called Spirit. Do believe, by all means, not saying buy it to buy it, but it does have the information in a novelist way that tells you indeed the specific and mechanics. I actually tell you how to go out of body. I go into all the experiences in this body. There are very methods to leave one's body. And by the way, these are my experiences in the book that you'll hear. How to go out of body. Even there's areas where I connect with angelic forms, where I heal myself. These are for real, by the way. Even getting in a war with the dark side of things. Yes, those were my experiences of dealing with those. All right. Of course, the rest of the book, where the guy you'll read is in another person's body. No, I never do that. Thank God. But I do know that can happen. And that's by cutting the cord. There's a cord like connecting you. That's what I was telling you. And if you ever go out of body and you don't feel a little element of fear, that's fine. Go right back into your body. Just go, hey, it's 7 years. I want to go back. I'm in my body. Boom, you're in your body. Or if you're in a place you think it's fear, let dark and light, you go toward nothingness, toward the light. Where there's no light, no dark. Just nothingness to the top. And ask your guides to protect you. Or go back to your body. So that's pretty much, if I could say in a nutshell, of what is Merkava, going out of body, astral projection. Again, I want to thank you all for listening in. This is a unique subject when I discuss it. I know every time I have a class or a lecture or something, they always go, somehow, for some reason, it steers right into that. Because it is what it is. It is what a major element of us are. And unfortunately, many people will reject illusionary ideas of it where they themselves have never done it. So if you've never been on the roller coaster ride, don't tell another person what the ride is like. I've been doing on this ride for 20 years. I can tell you what it's like, all right? So it ain't that bad. It's we're always on it. Ask any artist, any musician, any scientist. Even those who aren't even scientists are on it. Though, when you have a new thing, a new idea, when you have a connection, when you have that dream, yeah, when you touch to that angel, when you finally connect with something, that's Merkava. So that's not something to be afraid of. So I am going to close now. I thank you all for listening in, and God bless you all. And I'm going to close with a very special song. I think it's only likewise. It goes with the subject of today. Again, God bless y'all. Thank you. And this is Santana Soul Sacrifice.
and gentlemen, thank you.